put a smile on your face. Because the title of the sermon is Counting Our Blessings. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. In 1 Corinthians 9:23, it says, I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. That I may share in its blessings. Pray, and Ephesians 1:3, and if you were at the school of the word today, you would have heard this today. Ephesians 1:3, it says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. Father, we just come before you today, Lord God, and we thank you today, Father, for what you're doing already in this midst. And Father, as we come just to share these few moments together, open up your word, we pray, Father, that our hearts would be open to you. And that, Father, we would just be able to receive you and to receive each other. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, as most of you are aware, Sue and I were in Hawaii recently, and I was working on my convention. Sue was working on her tan. And it was a good meeting, and I certainly appreciated all the prayers of the people that were here praying for us. The last day of the convention, I had to run a golf tournament. I mean, invariably, somebody had to do it, right? But you've got to remember that it was a golf tournament there that after 10 days of work of getting up at 2:30 in the morning and going to bed at about 10 o'clock at night, the last day, it was very easy to swing a golf club because I was so tired I had no way of being able to swing fast. But the golf club was the Kulau Golf Club. As I'm wearing this shirt today, it sort of emphasized that. Kulau, or something like that. And it's branded as the toughest golf course in America. The toughest golf course. It even says that right here. Toughest in the USA. Now, you got to remember, some people still in our association still do not consider Hawaii to be part of the U.S. Because the survey, we said, bring the convention back to the U.S. Come on, guys. This Hawaii is the U.S. Where have you been? But it has a lot of ravines to hit over. You also get hit into jungle. We also saw these little animals that are running around with like flat squirrels. And Sue saw them when we were there. We took her out there and she saw them. They're mongooses. And that's one reason there are no snakes in Hawaii. Because of the mongooses. So anyway, a lot of reviews to hit over in jungle to lose your ball in. A few of mine went in there, unfortunately. But anyway, this course was built in Hawaii back in the 1990s for the high rollers, high casino rollers who came in from Japan. Because all of Japanese people love to play golf. They love to be a part of that. So they brought these high rollers in. We're going to build this golf course for you. It's going to be the best golf course ever. It's going to be one of the toughest. But for the Japanese, they really loved it. They had a great time being there. But over the years, it fell in hard times. It was put up for sale. And a Presbyterian church bought it for the building and the parking lot and kept the golf course. They run it as a separate entity. You know, I had vision many times of preaching a message on patience. With a driver in hand, I'd have a driver, my golf driver in hand. And when I finished the message, I'd be whisked away in a golf cart onto the first tee where I could put the message into practice. Walk the talk, if you will. That would be such a blessing. You know, we talk about the church growing. We talk about the whole thing about the church expanding. Just a thought. There might be a golf course out there that might be suffering that maybe we can use by this parking lot in the building. And there might be a golf course just nearby that we could do. Just a thought. Just a thought. Might be neat. But to go back onto the blessings, for many of us, we either look at the glass half full or half empty part of life. Depending on our mood, is our glass half full or is our glass half empty? I know I do many times. However, I believe God is showing us that God is saying to us that our glass is neither half full or half empty. But it is full to overflowing. It is full to overflowing. Psalm 23:5 says, You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. my cup overflows. In our lives, blessings do overflow if we sit back and examine them. What is the phrase? We need to stop and smell the roses. Sometimes we walk so fast we forget to realize what the blessings are in our life. You know that the Lord has blessed me by sending His Son to die for me. How many of us just think about that each morning when we get up? I'm alive today, and I'm blessed today because of the Son dying for me. For the Son dying for me. He did not have to do it. You know, God, Jesus Christ did not have to do that. But He did it. He did it. Another blessing that occurred in my life is very special. Sometimes I might kid about this person and people get the wrong idea about this person. However, my life is only made complete because of my relationship to Sue. I knew when she was talking about the tones today in the communion, she was talking about me. She knew that I knew all the tones there. I would say F sharp, is that cheese? What is that stuff going on? But you know what? Without her in my life, my blessing would not be complete. She fills me. She helps, understands me. She puts up with me. That's a lot of a blessing that she's being put upon her that I get from her. She puts up with me. I count it as a blessing every day of my life. The blessings of children and grandchildren continue to complete the circle of blessings in mine and Sue's life. In addition, you as a church family are a blessing to me and to Sue. We appreciate everything about you. Sometimes when I kid about people and stuff like that and become my different alter ego over here and become somebody different. But you're a blessing. You're a blessing. You mean a lot to us. And I'll be right now first and foremost. I was very good many times years ago that I can remember everybody's name. Today, I don't remember everybody's name. I have to ask Sue, who was that person? It happens when you get a little bit older. It happened, I think, when we had children. Whenever I'd ask for Josh, it would be, Josh, what is your name? Whoever you are. Those who are parents with kids probably recollect that now. And probably those that are kids probably remember your parents saying that to you. Whoever you are, just go do it. But you know what today, we talked about it earlier today. A person also that blessed us a lot in this congregation. It was a blessing. And if I hear me speak about him, would be very embarrassed, was John Aiden. For those who do not are new to the congregation, John Aiden passed away 5 years ago. About that, 5 years ago, I can't remember right off the top of my head. But he was a stalwart of this congregation. He was an elder of the congregation. He was very much a man of the nursery. He blessed a lot of us by what he gave in service to the congregation, not wanting anything in return. In fact, John would never take a mic. Whenever we asked him to speak, he says, I don't need that. I don't need that. He would just talk, and people would listen. He also had a great way of relating to children, because he had great stories to tell. But today would have been his birthday. However, he is sharing in the blessings of the Lord right now. John would always have these aches and pains, but we know he is healed today. He is free from all those heals and pains. His life blessed me and all who touched him, and I count his blessings among the many blessings that I received. I also believe that if we try to count all the blessings in our life, we would not be able to. For I believe the blessings of God that God has given us are as numerous as the grains of sand on the beach or the stars in the sky. Just think, if we spent time trying to count the blessings that God has given each one of us, we would have no time to complain. You ever thought about that? You thought about the situation there where you're behind somebody in the car or whatever and you're needing to get someplace and this person is going on a Sunday drive and it's Wednesday. And you're needing to get someplace. And you're complaining all the way longer. But if you just think of the blessing. Well, God, I've got you in my life. I've got healthy children. I've got everything going on. This person might be just enjoying life and maybe teaching me a little bit about enjoying life. I know I'm not speaking to anybody here except for myself. But I want to focus just on three blessings, if you will. I'm going to narrow it down just to three for the next few moments. The blessing of grace, the blessing of love, and the blessing of the Spirit. The blessing of grace in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." And it goes on to verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do." As you examine this verse, you need to understand that salvation was that gift given to each one of us. As we shared earlier, Jesus Christ did not have to die on the cross, but He did. He wanted to. He had a desire in His heart to give you that salvation message, to give salvation to each one of us. It's the blessing that is bestowed upon each one of us. The phrase, "it is a gift," just blows me away. A gift. How many times do we wish for a gift? We wish we get this gift. We wish we get this gift. I know Amazon has their wish list. And I know we always ask our kids, "What do you want for your birthday?" It says, "Look at our wish list." And we get that gift, and we get that gift. And we enjoy it for a little bit, but it just doesn't bless us. It starts making us have a little more anxiety about some things. Grace is that blessing that keeps giving and giving. No matter what we do, good or bad, God's grace is sufficient. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Paul was praying that a thorn in his flesh was bothering him, and he was praying that the Lord remove it. My theory, this is my theory, that the thorn was in Paul's life was a constant remembrance of how he persecuted the Christians and how he constantly persecuted Jesus Christ himself. And he wanted this memory taken away from him. And he kept praying, "God, take this away, take this away." But God answered him. And he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." The blessing of grace. For Paul knew that there was power in grace, even though he was weak. Christ's power rested on him. It got to the point where I think God would say to Paul, "Remember that what you did, Paul? Remember what these things were happening in your life? Where you were? But look where I brought you. Look where you're at right now. Even on the road to Damascus." He says, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Lord," here was a guy that was standing at the feet, or being there as the clothes were laid there at his feet when Stephen was being martyred. And he was approving of it. And now here is Paul, the apostle of all apostles, as he says, even the scripture, preaching God's message. The grace. You think of that. He went from the lowliest of low to, in a sense, in our own mind, the highest of highs. But he considers himself the humblest of servants. He recognized how weak he is, but Christ's power rests in him and the blessing that is there. Also, one other thing about grace. There's a purpose behind it. As it talks about in verse 10, it says, "Well, we are God's handiwork." You ever thought about that? This morning when you wake up, what did you think you were? "Well, I got to get ready for church. I got to do this. I got to get the kids ready. I got everything done." Have you ever thought about your God's handiwork? There's a purpose for you to be up today. There's a purpose for you and God's Spirit to be here today. God's prepared works for you in advance for you to do. Just think about it. The blessing of grace given to each and every one of us. The blessing that we don't deserve. The unmerited favor of God being given to each one of us. Nothing that we've done that we have, but God bestows that blessing upon us. We count that blessing of grace in our lives. The next blessing is the blessing of love. It says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one life for one's friends. Each of us can think of a time when we didn't feel much love, or we didn't feel embraced by someone. We just felt just bad. And then somebody shared that blessing of love with us. I've told this story a little bit before. For those who have heard the story, make believe this is the first time you've heard it. And for those who have not heard the story, make believe that you're hearing it for the first time. But there was a story, this blessing of love. And if you all know a person named Chuck Colson, does anybody remember know that name? Okay, well, Chuck Colson, if you will, was the hatchet man in Nixon's administration. He was a guy that was basically determined to be able to go to somebody and try to destroy somebody's character. He was basically designated by Richard Nixon to go destroy somebody's character. In fact, he would even destroy his mother's character, as he says in his biography, Born Again. But Chuck Colson basically, make a long story short, was sent to prison. And in prison, somebody shared Jesus Christ with him. The blessing of love. He turned his life over to the Lord. And now runs a prison fellowship. Is now recovering from surgery from a brain tumor. But one thing that really struck in Chuck Colson's life was something that was said to him, shared with him, while he was in prison. Chuck Colson became a new Christian in jail. And one thing that would happen in jail was that during this time, his 17, 18-year-old son had gotten picked up because of using drugs. He's ready to go to jail or had to do some counseling or something like that. Well, there was some type of law, and I'm not sure the exact phrase of what the law is, but there was something there that somebody could take his place in jail, because Chuck Colson was in a minimum security type of jail. He wasn't in a maximum security, a very minimum security. He could take his place in jail. So Chuck Colson could minister to his son and share with his son what God had done in his life. Because I'm sure the son had all types of confusion going on in his life. Here was his dad, very much known as a hatchet man, but now sent to prison. His son saying, God, why is my dad in prison? Why is this happening? Here he is, he was the powerful, he was around all the circles, around not only just the President Nixon, but he was also around all the circles of the world. He was known. A lot of confusion going on in a 17-year-old's life. That's probably one reason why he got into drugs. So Chuck Colson was saying, I need to go minister to my son and to give him the blessing of love. But he can't leave jail except for this one provision in a law where somebody could take his place for a little bit of time. The person who took his place was a congressman named Al Quie. A congressman going to jail. And this is, again, you got to remember, this is before the internet happens and all this other stuff. What would happen today if a congressman took somebody else's place in jail? It'd be all over Twitter, it'd be all over everything. I don't know what Twitter is, but anyway. But there's a situation here where the blessing of love, Al Quie was ready to sacrifice his reputation in order to minister to Chuck Colson. Greater love has no one than this, the one who lays down his life for his friends. Al Quie was ready to lay down his life so that Chuck Colson could minister to his son. The blessing of love, it blew Chuck Colson away and help him even more to really understand what was going on in his whole Christian life. So the blessing of love. Other areas of blessings of love, it says that Matthew 8:1 talks about when he came down from the mountain, saw large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift commanded as testimony to them. Another part in the scriptures it talks about when Jesus was in Bethany in the home of a man known as Simon the Leper. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume. When she poured on this head, which he poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price, and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you always have with me, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told also in memory of her." Two individuals, both with different backgrounds, in the blessings of love bestowed upon them. The leper who was cured was the same Simon that Jesus entered into his house. And into his house to have one of the final meals before he went to the cross. The honor of supping with Jesus. The leopard who basically had this disease. And the woman was Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, who was anointing Jesus. For Simon, the blessing of love was given when Jesus came to his home. It was much like us. For we have the leprosy of sin in our lives. The thing that just repels. For God cannot look upon sin. As many of the people in that time could not look upon somebody with leprosy. And the lepers had to cover themselves, had to hide themselves from the sight of anybody else because they could not look at them. The same thing. It's much like us when we have the leprosy of sin. God can't look upon us. But we're healed of that sin. But it's not until we invite Jesus into our lives, into the homes of our lives, does the blessing of love truly flow. For the leper knew he was healed. But when Jesus came into his home, there was an embracing that went on. There was a blessing that took place. There was a blessing that got. And all of a sudden, his home was blessed. His home was blessed. He was known as Simon the Leopard, who had been healed. But the blessing wasn't there until Jesus entered it through the doors. The same thing in each one of our lives. We have that leprosy in our life. And we're healed by that by the redemption of Jesus Christ. But until we invite Jesus into our lives, into the homes of our lives, and take over our lives, then we don't truly realize the blessing that God has bestowed upon each one of us. And Mary said that she had the best seat in the house when her brother was raised from the dead. She was right there. She was right there. But because of her willingness to give Jesus the best, she was honored by Jesus by being remembered. The blessing of love. Matthew Henry says, the commentary says that regarding the anointing, the pouring anointing upon the head of Christ was a token of the highest respect. Where there is true love in the heart to Jesus Christ, nothing will be thought too good to bestow upon him. And the last thing, the blessing of the Spirit. The Word says that it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and to the ends of the earth." And Acts 2:1-4 says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind coming from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." The blessing of the Spirit was given to them at that time. It is given to each one of us. It is given to each one of us. The blessing of God's Spirit. We might not have tongues of fire over our head, but the fire that burns within us is the blessing of the Spirit to do incredible things. We sometimes fail to recognize what the power of God can do in each one of our lives. And the power that resonates from each one of us, what can be done as we partake of the Spirit of God. You know, we started with the blessing of grace that God has prepared us to do good works in advance. The blessing of the Spirit and His gift are not just for a few, but for everyone. 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, it talks about the different kinds of Spirit, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, everyone is the same God at work. Make it real quick there. There's a message of wisdom. There's a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit to another, faith by the same Spirit to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit to another, miraculous power to another, prophecy to another, distinguishing between Spirit to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. The one unique thing about the blessing of the Spirit is the Spirit is not reserved for just a certain few. The gifts of the Spirit are not reserved for a certain few. Each one of us has the ability to receive the Spirit that is there, the gifts of the Spirit. We are blessed by that. We are blessed by that. The blessing of the Spirit is for you and I to be given so we can be a powerful force in the kingdom of God. A powerful force in the kingdom of God. And many of us today shun those gifts. Because we say, I don't want to be that. I'm not that powerful. Well, let me just diffuse that right away. Because the Bible says that Peter and John were unschooled, ordinary men. Peter was a fisherman. He threw a net in the water, hoping to catch fish. That's about what I would do, hoping to catch fish. They were unschooled, ordinary men. But Scripture records that they said to a lame man, "Silver and gold have I thee none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And what happened? The guy stayed there, right? He got up and walked. Because the blessing of the Spirit had been bestowed upon them. The gifts of the Spirit had been bestowed upon them. They received the gifts. Not anything that they're doing, but it's because of what Jesus Christ is doing through them. Each one of us today can wake up in the morning and say, God, what are you going to do through me today to make a difference in somebody else's life? And as I make the difference in somebody else's life, I'm going to be affected somehow one way or the other. But if we left for somebody else to do it, we're going to miss the blessing of God. We're going to miss the blessing of God if we let somebody else do it. They were thankful for the blessing of God. You know, many of us are struggling today because we're afraid to really embrace the blessings of God, to really count our blessings. We're saying, Lord, I'm going through so many things right now that, Lord, you have no conscience of what I'm going through. You have nothing going on. I think of many different people that are going through financial hardships. They're going through situations where they're physically, they're hurting. Emotionally, they're hurting. Spiritually, they're hurting. We all go through that part. I loved when he was talking about Anna with the goal, soccer goal. The struggles of how to do, and she probably kicked that towards the soccer goal a couple times, and it just missed. It just missed. It's like when I hit a putt on a golf course. It just misses the golf cup to go in. And we get to that point sometimes where our lives are just missing. We're just missing. Lord, if I just had this, I'd be complete. We're just missing. But let me tell you what it says in my Isaiah 43. It says, but now this is what the Lord says. Who created you, O Jacob? And let me just put this right now. I'm going to take a license here because I'm here at the podium. That we can rewrite Scripture right now. It says, He who created you, O Jacob, you can put in your name. Who created you, O Rick? He who formed you, O Rick, you can put your name in there. because these are part of the blessings of God. It says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. That's the blessing, the grace, the blessing of grace. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. As we talked about in the script and the song earlier, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, everything, everything all is God, is for us, who can be against us? If He gives us His Spirit, it's everything. He doesn't give just partial Spirit. He gives all Spirit. He said, I love this. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. How many of you are trying to swim? How many of you know how to swim? How many of you don't know how to swim and are afraid of the water? When you walk through the waters, you can still walk in the 3-foot section. He'll be there. We're afraid sometimes to even get in the water because we can't swim. But there are parts of the water we can still swim. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fires of life, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Brothers and sisters, the only flame I want in my life is not things that are going to burn me, but the flame that's going to purify me. And we get that through the Holy Spirit. We get that through the blessing of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God needs to refine us. The Spirit of God needs to purify us. The Spirit of God needs to help us and to cleanse us. You know, I talked about earlier about being a golf course in jungles. And many times, we are in jungles in our lives. And we need the paths what God gives each one of us. And that path has to be a very narrow path. But one of the things we need to do is we need to understand today that we're to call to count our blessings every day. Count our blessings. Think about them. Reflect upon them. Look around and thank God that He has blessed you beyond measure. Again, if we count our blessings, we'll have nothing to complain about. Let's just pray. Father, thank You, Lord God, that You bless us beyond measure.